Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, on VFN Radio, we shared, and Pat, Chris, you can remember this, God and Hitler. And Hitler's plan not only to kill the Jews,
right,
but to kill Christians too. And this was a fantastic segment because, I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was a deeper plan there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And what we found out was astonishing.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy, we knew he was a very evil dude to begin with when he killed 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But to go further and replace all the Bibles,
yeah,
with your own Bible,
the Ten Commandments
with his own, and he thought he'd help out and add 2 more additional commandments.
Yeah, 10 wasn't enough. He needed 12. Wrote his own prayer to himself.
Yeah, yeah, his own prayer to himself. It's like, this is deception of the worst kind.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm talking about? And talking about Iran, Aryan, I mean, even we've been talking about Iran today. It's like, oh my goodness, the connection here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just totally demonic. But in part 2 of this, we're going to listen to that. It was an amazing minister, a theologian, a man of God by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who God used, I mean, strategically. This man had prophetic insight where most of the church at this time was completely blinded. I mean, don't forget that Hitler made an agreement, and the Catholic Church made an agreement with Hitler. I mean, he was able to just hoodwink them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He deceived them, and and they thought that he would give them religious freedom, and it's the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped it to shreds. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not deceived. Let me tell you something. The greatest way that people are going to be deceived is because they're not abiding.
That's right.
You know, when you have only 19%, according to George Barna, 19% of the Christians are actually abiding and hearing God's word. The greatest way you can prevent yourself from being deceived is by spending time with Jesus. And if you abide with the Lord, he is going to tell you everything that you need to know. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was not deceived. He was not a Christian that deceived. He heard the voice of God,
mm-hmm,
and he obeyed. And we want you to listen to this segment. We want you to be encouraged to just his life and see what happens when you just abide and you just respond and you spend time with the Lord and you do what God is instructing you to do. Listen up.
On July 20th, 1944, the closest attempt to assassinate Adolf Hitler failed. As a result, the resistance movement in Germany was destroyed, and almost 5,000 people were executed. Theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of them.
Germany, 1939. Hitler's rise to power stunned everyone with its speed and ferocity. The world watched in horror as the Nazis bullied first a nation and then a continent. But in Germany, a resistance was building that worked to dismantle the Third Reich from the inside. Their primary aim, assassinate Hitler. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian and pastor, was a leader in the cause. I sat down with author Eric Metaxas to discuss his new bestseller on Bonhoeffer's life of faith. Bonhoeffer, subtitled, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Wow. Why Bonhoeffer? Why do you want to do this?
Today, as Christians, we need role models. We need people. But there's something about Bonhoeffer. To me, he's the ultimate role model for Christians today.
Bonhoeffer grew up in an educated and artistic family in Germany. His father was a distinguished brain chemist, while his brother worked with Albert Einstein to split the atom. Bonhoeffer chose the field of theology. And while doing postgraduate studies at Union Theological Seminary in New York, he was surprised by what he found, or rather, what he didn't find.
In New York, they preach about virtually everything. Only one thing is not addressed.
or is addressed so rarely, I have yet been able to hear it, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross, sin, forgiveness, death, and life.
Yeah.
That sounds like today. That's
80 years ago he wrote those words about the state of...
80 years ago, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in New York City going to college, and he's from Germany. He said, this is what they're not doing. They're not talking about Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching against sin. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's the same thing that's happening right now.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. And we're talking about this mercy plank. We're talking about, my goodness, we got to wake up. Listen to this.
Of mainstream Protestantism in New York City.
While he didn't find sound theology in most of the churches in New York, he was inspired when he went to Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem.
And for the first time in his life, he sees African Americans worshiping the gospel preached with fire, with power. Everything about it touched his heart, moved him, and so he went every single Sunday, not just to worship, but to teach Sunday school. I think he also taught some adult Sunday school, so he got very involved.
White German in a black church at the beginning of the 1930s, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He really was gripped by the whole idea of the racism and race relations in the U.S. There was nothing to compare this to in Germany. In other words, this was an American problem. Of course, just a couple of years later, Hitler becomes chancellor in 1933, and everything changes. Suddenly now, Bonhoeffer is facing, in Germany, exactly what he saw here. He saw a group of people, the Jews, being made to be second-class citizens, and he was, from day one, vocally fighting against it, one of the few Christians who understood what he saw.
He had foreknowledge, it was almost like a prophetic insight into what was coming in Germany in regard to Hitler.
I
he read
it, was
it early out.
I believe it was a prophetic insight.
And it cost him.
It always does.
To try to tell the German church,
yeah,
what became the Reich Church,
yeah,
that Hitler was evil,
yeah,
nobody was buying this.
No, it's a stunning thing to see how the churches and how the conservatives were co-opted and snowed by Adolf Hitler. Hitler was a genius in that he was profoundly cynical to the bottom, and he used the churches brilliantly.
Bonhoeffer helped found the Confessing Church, which opposed Hitler and the Third Reich, primarily their anti-Christian and anti-Jewish stands. But even with the Confessing Church, Bonhoeffer was almost alone in recognizing the depth of the problem.
He was always a step ahead and trying to rally them. And a few times he succeeded, but mostly he was alone.
Another issue that obviously came to the fore was identification with the gospel comes first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Yeah. That cost him.
Bonhoeffer is reading the scriptures and trying to show his fellow Christians that in the church, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. If a Jew wants to be a part of this church, we are obligated as Christians to welcome him in, to worship with him. This is the place, Bonhoeffer said, the church is the place where Jew and Christian stand together. Now, not only could the Nazis not see this, but many in the church could not see this. He wrote a circular letter where he's basically saying that what the Nazis have done to the Jews in Germany, they have done to God's people. The burning of the synagogues, this is an attack on God.
A spy. How did he become a spy?
1939 comes around and Bonhoeffer realizes he will be drafted, but he would not fight in Hitler's war.
Bonhoeffer sailed to safety in America, but after only 26 days there, he was on the last ship to cross the Atlantic before the war started.
He's seeking the will of God, and the Lord calls him back to Germany. He knew, I will have no peace in New York. Well, Bonhoeffer's family were all very, very involved in the conspiracy against Adolf Hitler. He had been providing them moral support, but this was the moment of decision. Do I take another step?
Bonhoeffer joined the Abwehr German military intelligence as a double agent. He acted as a courier for the Third Reich, but used these opportunities to make contact with the Allied forces across Europe. He had it absolutely resolved in his mind, philosophically, spiritually, biblically, that
he could justify being involved in a direct assassination plot.
Yeah.
How did he resolve that with, say, Bible verses, Romans 13, that said you're supposed to obey those in authority? Sure.
Even many good Germans had no idea what was really going on, but Bonhoeffer knew. And he thought, if I, as a Christian, am unwilling to get my hands dirty to protect scores of thousands and millions of innocent Jews, I will not be able to stand before a holy God. And to have some fussy theological argument about, well, do I do this again? Sometimes God requires you in obedience to take action.
But before the assassination plan could be carried out, Bonhoeffer was arrested and sent to Tegel military prison.
He was involved in trying to get a number of Jews out of Germany to safety.
Bonhoeffer was still in prison awaiting trial on July 20th, 1944, when the plot to assassinate Hitler failed.
Now the entire conspiracy, which has been working for on and off for practically 10 years, is completely exposed. At that moment, of course, Bonhoeffer's days are numbered.
Bonhoeffer was transferred to a Gestapo prison and then to a concentration camp. On April 9, 1945, with the sound of American guns in the distance, Bonhoeffer was executed by hanging under the direct order of Hitler. Less than 3 weeks later, Hitler committed suicide and Germany surrendered to the Allies.
It's really tempting for us to look at this as a great tragedy. It's so sad, but I think that Bonhoeffer himself would rebuke us for having that point of view. And he would say, yes, there's a sadness, but to serve God with everything you have unto death is the greatest joy of life.
What's the message of his legacy to 21st century Christians or non-Christians?
He's the ultimate witness to a world that is not Christian, that he calls people to God with an authenticity that is literally, in my experience, unique. And it's a very, very important thing for us to understand that this man was a prophet of God and he was utterly obedient to the Lord. For me, the joy of telling the story is to rediscover Bonhoeffer for a generation that never knew him.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the real thing.
The real thing.
It was the real thing.
You know, that's so amazing. You're hearing about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and this is part two of God and Hitler, and this amazing man of God. Mm. I mean, he abided with God. Literally, this is hellacious things that are happening. I mean, you're talking about an absolutely man Adolf Hitler who had demonic orders.
Yeah.
I mean, totally given over to Satan and killing 6 million Jews. I mean, these are atrocities that are happening. Mm. And prior to all of that, he leaves over to the United States, realizes that, you know, these guys are not even preaching the gospel. He finds this church in Harlem.
Yeah.
The African American church, and he's this white German in 1930s.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, 1950s were hanging people, 1930s, you know, and he sees this as authentic. I want to be a part of this, what God's doing here. And he was perplexed because in Germany, they didn't have anything. They didn't see this there, this, the races and segregation and prejudice. Like, what is this?
Yeah. He's about to find out.
He was about to find out, only to find out what was going to happen to the Jews. It's like God allowed him to see that, you know, every part of your journey is not an accident. God's allowing you to experience and witness things, not just for you, but where he's taking you on the journey.
Yeah.
So he's back in Germany, and he sees what's happening with Adolf Hitler and sees what's happening with the Jews and how the church was deceived. But he wasn't deceived. He wasn't deceived. Let me tell you something. Abide with Jesus Christ. If you've been hearing the word abiding, you've been hearing us talk about abiding, you can get request a simple plan at iabide.org. Free doesn't cost you a thing. But in this simple plan, you're going to find out how you can spend time with the Lord, read his word, hear his voice. Because God does speak. God does speak. And so here's Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who gets, you know, drafted into Hitler's army. He's like, I am not going to be killing nobody. I'm not, you know, what do you do? You're drafted. What do you do?
Right, right.
But he realizes that, you know what? I was called for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. I was called for such a time as this, but I may be getting these a little bit confused, but the last I thought was interesting that the last ship out.
Yeah.
He gets on the last ship out of Germany and spends 26 days in America.
Yeah.
26 days. While everybody was running out of hell, literally. I mean, they are getting out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that listened and obeyed. I mean, you know, Greg and I were in the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan in Battery Park, and and which is an overwhelming experience. And one of the things that we learned there was that a lot of the Jews didn't leave when they had plenty of warning to leave because they didn't want to give up their comfort and convenience. Yeah, there is a time to leave. There's a time to obey God. And it's not, it's a now thing. It's urgent. I mean, God told, you know, the angels told Lot, the messenger told Lot, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
You got to move when God says to move. And because they didn't, they were caught. But he, once again, he's listening. He's listening, and he gets on the last ship. He's out. But while he's in America, he says, "I'm called to go back. I got to stop this." You know, you may be thinking, "I'm just one person. What can I do?" Let me tell you something. You and God are a majority anywhere.
Yeah.
You and God are a majority anywhere, because it's never been about us. It's only to be about God. You know, he's not looking for your ability or your inability. He doesn't need either one. He's looking for your availability. And if you make yourself available to God, he'll use you just like he used Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he'll give you the grace to go back into the face of hell. And God empowered him to cut, you know, he was part of this 10-year plan to take out Hitler. I mean, this guy was a man of God. He walked in truth. He was a prophet, and he was a spy. I mean, he's a double agent. This guy had it going on.
He had it all.
I mean, think about it. He had it going on.
Yeah.
And tragically, he gets exposed. That the plot was exposed, and this failed attempt on Hitler's life didn't happen. He winds up being sent to prison, and eventually, Hitler himself. There's a distinction there, sentences him to hang. And then 3 weeks later, Hitler winds up hanging himself. Let me tell you something. If you're not living for this life, it's not really sad. It's not really sad. Let me tell you, Jesus is welcoming Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he is not to be pitied or you know, I'm sure he didn't want no pity. Because what an honor to be able to offer your life as a sacrifice like that. What an honor to stand in a gap. And where are the Dietrich Bonhoeffers today? Where are those that are willing to say, you know what, it's going to cost me everything. Jesus said, I'm going to have to pick up my cross and follow him. And I'm not living for this life. I'm living for the life to come. And I only live to do the will of the Father anyway.
Right.
And I've only got this one life. And when this one life vapor is over,
that's right.
I'm going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are living without the reality that you are going to see Jesus? You're going to see him.
Yeah.
And you will have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to have some explaining. What are you going to have for him?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for those of us believers that live in America, it's like, God set us up. He said, I've given you everything that you need to fulfill the destiny that I've placed on the inside of you.
Right.
What did you do with it? Are we going to take our talents, like the parable, and bury them in the dirt? Or are we going to invest everything we have for the kingdom of God in this brief moment vapor? You know what? And if it's over, it's over. You know, if we're not living for this life. If you're living for this life, then you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living for the life to come, if you're living to put a smile on Jesus' face, if you're living to do the will of the Father, you're going to have grace to endure what lies ahead.
That's right.
And so it's time for the Dietrichs, the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, to say, you know what? I'm going to get out of I'm going to get out of this comfort zone, and I'm going right back in, because I want to do the will of the Father. I want you to listen to the second part of this segment that was shared on CBN, and just listen up.
when he wrote his wonderful book, The Cost of Discipleship, he opened with this line: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer certainly paid that price, and he paid with his own life. But it was not without his own internal struggle. As he looked at what Adolf Hitler was doing to Germany, he had this to say to a friend: it is not only my task to look after the victims of madmen who drive a motor car in a crowded street, but to do all in my power to stop their driving at all. And with that, he came to his own conclusion that he had to join the resistance, that he had to literally sacrifice his own righteousness. And that's how he put it: I have to sacrifice my righteousness so I can stop Adolf Hitler. Now, when you look at the atrocities of the Nazis, you have to look at it from the standpoint of, well, who built the prison camps? Who built the ovens? Who built the gas chambers? They had to know what the purpose was. Who operated them? Who loaded the trains? Who unloaded the trains? Each step of this way, you look at it from the outside and you go, there's guilt here. There's blame here. Why didn't they stand up for what was right? Why did the Protestant Church of Germany fail so miserably in stopping Hitler? Well, there was a professor at Yale. He asked the same question. And he asked it during the time of the Adolf Eichmann trial in 1961. And what he asked was, what is the validity of the so-called Nuremberg defense? That I was just under orders. I was just obeying orders. And with that, you get the dichotomy of Romans chapter 13, where Paul commands us to obey those in authority. On the other side of that, you have what Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin when they ordered them not to preach the gospel. They said, we can't help but obey God. Which do we obey, man or God? We can't help but obey God. And that's the choice that every Christian is faced with. If you think this is an isolation and somehow if you were in Nazi Germany, you wouldn't have obeyed. Well, think again, because Stanley Milgram found an incredible result. Going into this experiment, he did a survey of the psychology department at Yale, both the students and the professors, and they all said, well, you'll probably get 1 to 2% of the participants actually going forward and obeying orders to literally kill somebody. That will be the response rate. Everybody else is going to be strong morally, and they're going to turn against authority. They won't do it. Well, here's his experiment. You have three participants. You have an experimenter, the participant, and the supposed victim. And all of this is made up. And what was going on was a series of progressive electrical shocks, each 15 volts higher. And what was going on is the experimenter is dressed in a lab coat. He's there on behalf of science, and we're measuring the effects of memory. And then you have an actor in another room. And this actor in the other room would make pretend screams, and then they would have piped-in electrical noises as the electrical shock is administered. And then the actor would start complaining that he has a heart condition and this is killing him. And in this whole process, the participant, the subject of the experiment, is told to continue to administer shocks. Every time the actor gets it wrong on the memory test, they're supposed to continue to give them shocks. Well, as you'd expect, most people start objecting. And then the authority figure, the experimenter in the lab coat, would come in and he'd give them 4 different prompts. And these were all scripted for every single one. The first time the subject objected, the experimenter would say, please continue. And usually that was all it took, just a please continue, and they would continue to administer shocks. And then as the thing progressed, they'd go to number 2. The experiment requires that you continue. And then when it got worse, it was number 3. It's absolutely essential that you continue. And then they got to number 4. You have no other choice. You must go on And then they would add a little kicker. There's no tissue damage happening. This is fine. Well, what were the results? You know, if you think you wouldn't be part of this. 25 of the 40 participants administered the highest lethal shock. And what in their minds was 450 volts of electricity. Now, the average outlet in the home in America is 110 volts. In Europe, it's 220 volts. You know, it's a lethal shock. And when you start thinking 25 of 40 participants went all the way to kill someone in an experiment, there was only one participant who would not go over 300 volts. And that one participant was studying electrical engineering and had personally experienced shocks and said, I don't care what you're doing. I know this hurts. I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, that's what the results were. And these weren't just average participants. Every one of the people here were all Yale students. And many of them suffered trauma after this experiment because they realized they too were capable of killing when someone ordered them to. You look at the genocide, you look at what happened under Hitler, and you say, never again. Well, genocides have been happening again and again. Just since 1950, here are the genocides with over 500,000 victims. Cambodia, Rwanda, Pakistan, Indonesia, and currently in Sudan, one of the greatest human tragedies of our day. All of this happening because people are obeying orders and not obeying God. So today, make up your mind. Are you going to be a Peter and John? And would you have the willingness to stand up to the Sanhedrin, knowing that your very life was at stake? Would you have the courage of a Bonhoeffer, knowing your very life is at stake? Whatever position you have, would you obey God or would you obey authority?
This is amazing, because you think about this, you know, Adolf Hitler, one man, although he was responsible and absolutely he killed 6 million Jews, he didn't kill them all personally himself.
Right.
He didn't send them all to the furnace himself. He didn't, you know, send them to the ghettos and confiscate them and do the torturous things that they did to them, all 6 million of them.
Right.
There were other people that were involved, those that obeyed orders. And
right.
In this trial, that this experiment that he's talking about, which is, I mean, just goes to show you. They thought, well, you only get maybe 2% of people that will actually participate, that actually go with this experiment to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, think about it. They thought They were giving someone electrical shock, and just with a simple command. I mean, they weren't twisting their arm.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. They would follow, and close to 25 out of 40 people.
Yeah. That's over half.
That's over half.
Yeah.
Went all the way and killed somebody because of an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Weren't people capable? Did they not kill Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, I can't believe there's evil. No, this always existed. This is nothing new. This is just showing what's in our heart if God's not in our heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, I'm not talking about religion.
Because
those are the religious people that did him in, did Jesus in. I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus, a relationship with the Lord. You can do anything. You can turn it over, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And let's not forget about JJ. It's still Jews and Jesus and the Christians. And someone can rise up. I mean, yes, we're supposed to obey our authority, but we're going to be like Peter. We're not going to obey any authority or law that contradicts the word of God and it's going to hurt somebody. You're not going to do that if you're a believer. You're not going to do that if you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It may cost you something.
Right.
It may cost you your life. It may cost you imprisonment. But we cannot deny Jesus Christ. We cannot deny Jesus' word. And you look at what people were willing and capable to do. We're talking about those that are willing to go into the flames of hell, literally, to be willing to be used by God. Mm. And at the same time, we're seeing those that are willing to be used by the enemy to just hurt and kill people just on simple orders.
Right.
And just recently before the break, we were talking about this Nuremberg defense that they were using, where they said, "I'm just simply obeying orders." And it's like, really? Really, is that how little it takes? It's amazing how simply obeying orders is, you can justify that for your behavior. Yeah. But in other places, you don't want to follow orders.
Right,
that, you know, saying, for some reason, that same defense doesn't line up.
Crazy.
You know, and there's a book called Hitler's Beneficiaries, and it explores why and how Hitler was able to do the things that he was able to do and kill so many people. Jews, 6 million of them, it's because there were a lot of people that were benefiting from this as well. And the author of this book goes into and speaks to how the Nazis would come to Germans and say, here's some stuff on behalf of the Nazi party and Hitler, and they'd be getting all sorts of furniture and food. And these are people that were just basically recovering. I mean, Germany was just at the bottom that it could, you know, be economically, and unemployment, and all of a sudden here's you know, Hitler giving you something.
Right.
I mean, we can go on for a long time for that. Be careful they give you.
Yeah.
Be careful what they give you. But there was beneficiaries. They were getting something in return for this. And by the way, they would drop something off to you and drop that color TV. I mean, they didn't have a color TV then, but, you know, dropping that stuff off. Here's that plasma. Oh, and by the way, we hate the Jews.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a couple more times probably to keep hearing those statements all the while they were getting all this nice stuff. And you know where this nice stuff was coming from? It was coming right outside of the Jews' homes, because they were shipped out. Where did all that furniture go? Where did all their food go? Where did all their money go?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. There is evil. The same evil that was present at the time of Hitler, it's the same evil that's present today, and it's the same evil that was done, you know, in Jesus' day. Well, let me tell you, where darkness abounds, much more does the grace of God abound.
That's right.
And light always overcomes darkness. And that's what we're doing on VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light, LIGHT.
Mm-hmm.
We want to shed light on the darkness, because darkness has to run when the light is shown. And it just takes people that are abiding and spending time with the Lord to say, you know what, I won't bow down. I will not retreat. I will not give up God and his ways for anything, anyone, not even myself. I'm going to stand with God and God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, no matter what that costs you, and it may cost you, no matter what that may cost you,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you something. In eternity, it will be all worth it.
That's right.
To do the will of God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen